Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you again from the Upward Sports Studio. Have you ever given blood? Well, today's story is about giving blood and much more than that. And we're going to talk about the obvious connections to our faith with that one. And then I'm going to talk about a benefit of running and or walking that we might not think about very often, but is definitely there. And joining me once again for those stories and much, much more is Run for God. His Upward Running Director, Mitchell Hollis.
Still getting used to that, huh, dude?
Yeah. You know me. When I get in habits, I'm so bad.
Yeah. So, we have a new addition to the podcast studio.
Yes, we do.
We do. So, and it comes as confirmation that people actually do listen to this podcast, which we wonder sometimes, you know, why people would listen to us. But, so, a few weeks ago, we were talking about, I've always wanted that sign hanging over my desk, and Rhonda Williams was listening, and I don't know if she found the sign and bought it or if she made it, but if you'll look, it says, poor planning on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on my part. Yeah. So I saw that sign years ago hanging behind somebody's desk, and I thought, man, I would love to have that, and we were talking about it a few weeks ago, and lo and behold, Rhonda sent it, so thank you, Rhonda, for the great addition. And if you're watching, you can see it over my right shoulder. But I love it.
Yeah,
it
was, that's a great right up gift. Your alley.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, well, we got the Couch to Marathon at this point is official. It's kicked off.
It's off, but there's still time to join.
Absolutely.
If you have any level of fitness at all, you can still jump in as of the recording of this podcast. You can go to upwardrunning.com, get signed up for the app, go in, sign up for the Couch to Marathon program. But I just want everybody to know, I mentioned it last week, go ahead and put January 25th on your calendar of 2026 for next year, the 24th and the 25th. I'm working on all the details right now of our banquet. You know, I've mentioned on here that we're taking what we used to do here in Dalton and we're taking it to Gulf Shores next year. Mm-hmm. So we'll have the Couch to Marathon. We're going to have the Couch to Half Marathon, Couch 10K and Couch to 5K, all graduating there. So you can run any distance you want. We'll have the training for it all throughout this year, and we're all going to meet up at, it's looking like, Gulf Shores Methodist Church. They have an incredible room that they're going to let us use. And so I'm working on all the details of food and all that stuff. It's just going to be a really good time of getting together. We're going to do like we used to do here. We're going to pass the mic around, tell stories. We're going to eat together. We're going to sing together. We're going to worship together. And then the next day, we're going to run together. So, yeah. I mean, it couldn't be a much better weekend than that.
And if you've never been a part of that Run Club weekend,
oh, man.
Oh, it is. I'm telling you, it's better than you think.
Yeah.
And we had the folks came from Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. came over here.
Tom and Val.
Just so they could be part of that.
Yeah.
And they left here thinking it was worth their time and effort and money. So.
And then they came back the next year.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So Tom and Val, we had people from Alaska, California, mm-hmm. everywhere.
Yep. So and, make plans. Please make plans.
Yeah, I mean, and remember that's the battery charger for us. I mean, it charges us back. It lets us know, man, what we're doing means something.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible.
Yep. Yep. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Now, one of the things I got a question about.
Okay.
Somebody was really astute out there and noticed that in our written plans, we have 2 weeks, we have rest weeks in between our plans. So if you're starting the Couch to Marathon plan and you've seen those written plans where there's built-in rest weeks, those rest weeks are taken out.
For the Couch to Marathon this year.
For the Couch to Marathon this year. We'll put them back in next year, but for this year,
we may not. It depends on, it's a scheduling thing.
Yeah, it is. But the scheduling this year just necessitated.
Because talk to the fact that We have them in there when we can, because it's just kind of a respite mentally.
It's the battery recharge you're talking about.
But to the people who are saying, well, if we're taking them out, does that mean we're taking out something we need? So talk to that just for a minute.
Yeah, that's a good question, because those are just, it's sort of like you have things that are essential, mm-hmm. and you have things that are nice to have.
Yeah.
The rest week, nice to have,
right.
but not essential.
Right.
So it's yeah, that's
and it really come down to a scheduling issue for us to be able to hit the Big Beach Marathon, which we know everybody's going to love that race. We had to make some adjustments, and that's the adjustment we made. And so we're not putting you at any kind of risk
that's
by
right.
taking those out. We're just taking out the non-essentials for this year.
Now, what will become more important next year is we have recovery weeks built into all of our plans.
Mm-hmm. And those didn't come out.
Every fourth week, you have a recovery week. This is going to make it a little bit more important that you take those recovery weeks very seriously,
sure.
and you really back off things on those weeks. So there's plenty of recovery for you.
Absolutely.
Yep. Our post of the week came from Michelle Palma Stover. She said, good morning. I jogged 3 miles this morning preparing for my 5K on Sunday. I get many questions like, how do you run so much and not get injured? I listen to my body. I've had pains that would have led to injuries if I didn't pay attention and found ways to fix the causes of pain. Most of the time, it's the simple rest, warming up, giving my body time to relax and cool down, wearing the correct shoes and socks that give support on my knees and my plantar fasciitis. How can you teach and handle teens all day? Why are you always tired, people ask. These two questions go hand in hand. My day starts as early as 4:30 a.m. I start my day with a workout and reading God's Word. My work as a teacher requires all my muscles, including my heart and my brain. So whenever I'm sitting down, rest comes naturally. Sleep comes naturally. In my rest and sleep, my muscles are still at work. That's what working out does. I continue to burn calories that build my muscles again. It's a great habit to care for our bodies. It's not to defy death. Death is inevitable. It is more to honor God with it so that we can live a good quality life, doing His purpose for us. This is my run for God. Come run with me.
I think brain fatigue is the most extreme fatigue there is.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It wipes you out. But the crazy thing about it is, you know, you can sit in meetings all day. To me, that's like purgatory.
Yeah.
Is long meetings.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing about it is you can get up from that last meeting at the end of the day and you're just exhausted.
Yep.
And you can go for a run or a walk or a ruck or a bike ride or a swim and you feel rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out and you do physical activity to charge your batteries. That's
yeah.
the cool thing about the sports
it
that
is.
We love.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I responded to her post by saying, in summary, be intentional. That's what she's talking
mm-hmm.
about, right?
Yeah.
She's being intentional
sure.
about all these different things, parts of her life. And that's so important that we are intentional. It doesn't mean we can't relax and let things come to us occasionally and do spontaneous things, but we should have a definite direction. We should have goals. I would bet that she has goals. I heard the other day somebody said that 86% of people do not have goals.
Mm-hmm.
86%.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe it. Yeah.
That means one out of every seven people has a goal, and that's not good. We need goals, and we need to have something to strive for, and we need to be intentional about getting to those goals, and it'll make everything you do so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Our run of the week comes from Mike Powers. He says, my son Caleb and I ran a 10K, which was the fourth and final race of the 2025 MRTC Frank Horton Memorial Winter Off-Road Series this afternoon. Honestly, I wasn't feeling it today. I asked Caleb if he just wanted to stay home and watch some sports or do something else together. I have only ran a couple of times in the last 2 weeks. I just wasn't feeling like running today. However, Heather and Holly are out of town and Caleb really wanted to run this race. He really wanted me to run it with him. So I decided to run it even though I wasn't excited about it. I'm so glad Caleb encouraged me to run. The weather was beautiful, and even though the hills, the mud, and the fallen trees we had to jump over made it a very challenging course, it was a lot of fun. In the 3 years I have run this trail race series, I ran one of my best trail races today. If I had decided to not run, I would have just sat at home and probably been lazy, but instead, I enjoyed the beautiful temperatures and being outside. I very much enjoyed running with Caleb, and we got to do something hard today and successfully finished it and crossed the finish line running strong. It is important to do hard things. Sometimes we just need someone to encourage us to take that first step. The hardest step of any run is the first step out of the door. I am so glad I did. I feel great and have much more energy than before I ran, even though I am tired. Caleb was a little disappointed in his time, but he did really well considering it was not an easy course to run. Most of all, we had fun.
It's nothing like your teenagers holding you accountable.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to say this to Mike because I feel like Caleb, I don't know exactly how old Caleb is. I want to say he's somewhere 13 maybe. Would you say it's close, 14?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not that old.
Yeah, I was thinking a little younger than that.
So Mike, cherish those days.
Yeah.
Because before long, the only time that you'll be spending together is before and after the race.
Yeah.
because I kind of see the post you make. Caleb's getting speedy.
Yeah.
And before long, Dad's going, if you're like me, Dad gets left in the dust. So cherish the time you have to run with him.
Yeah.
That's a cool story.
It is. And this is Exhibit A on kind of a little bit of what we're just talking about, but a lot of times we just don't feel like going for a run, and we get out there and we realize, oh, we feel way better than we think we do. And
if you think you're too tired, what I was just talking about. Oh, I'm just worn out today.
Yep.
And then you go, and then you're like, you can go to three more meetings.
That's right. That's right. So he and Caleb both learned a lesson here.
Sure.
And it's going to make it easy. The next time he doesn't feel like going for a run, he's going to think to this time and go, oh, you know, that last time I didn't feel real good. Everything worked out. So
that was that iron sharpening iron in real life right there.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Good to see. Our trivia question from last week. Why is the marathon 26 miles, 385 yards? And of course, this all comes down to it's an interesting story. Of course, the original Pheidippides running to the Athens from the town of Marathon is where the marathon distance comes from. But when he did that, it was about 25 miles mm-hmm. from Marathon to Athens. So that was the original idea behind the marathon, was to honor that thing. Well, in the early Olympic marathons, the first modern Olympic marathon in 1896 was about 24.8 miles long. So again, around 25 miles. But then in 1908, this is where things changed. Because in the 1908 Olympics, they were in London, which is very important to the story. The marathon started at Windsor Castle and was supposed to finish at the Royal Box in White City Stadium. And in order to accommodate the royal family's viewing, so this is all about the royal family, and making sure that the marathon finished right in front of their seats. And when they did that and they measured that course out, it extended to 26 miles, 385 yards, or 26.2 miles. And that, interestingly, didn't become the standard distance that year. But then later on in 1921, they finally went back to that and thought, okay, let's make that the standard distance, because in the 1908 or the 1912 and 1920 Olympics, the distance was closer to 25 miles. Well, actually, one of them was over 26 miles. But the idea was, let's do some kind of a standardization. And so they went back and said, let's do the one we did in London.
So let's make the standardized 26.2 miles.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that weird?
If you've never seen the Nate Bargatze Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
Nate is very clean. It's a very clean skit. Google the Nate Bargatze, the comedian, Saturday Night Live skit. It talks about this very thing. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't know that they went to 26.2, went away from it, and then came back to it. That really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that strange? Yeah. I don't understand why they went back and chose that particular distance.
Yeah.
And why they didn't just make it 25 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 25 miles is also right at 40 kilometers, too.
Because 26.2 just makes more sense.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So let's see how well people really listen to this podcast. We're going to do a bonus trivia question, and I'm going to insert it right here. What famous footwear company did Pheidippides yell to announce victory over the Persians as he entered Athens?
There you go. That's a good one.
We're just going to leave that right there. It's a bonus in addition to the one you're going to do at the end.
All right.
If you know the answer, send it to
Dean
at upwardrunning.com.
That's right. Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org. All right, we're back. And don't forget to submit your story. We do have a brand new story this week. Yeah. And we'll have a brand new one again next week. But we still need stories.
And so, to make it easy on all of the newsletters now, Claire's done a great job of putting submit your story down there at the bottom. I looked at it last night. The page looks great.
Does.
Old George is up there. You got George and Claire on the banner right there. Yeah. For submit your story.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice and easy. Great. It's very easy to do. And we need to hear from you.
For sure. Well, Russ Cook, you remember Russ Cook? He's also known as the Hardest Geezer. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that ran the length of Africa, started down in southern Africa and ran all the way to the top of Africa and had all sorts of adventures along the way, including getting robbed and having visa issues and all sorts of crazy things happening. Well, he has been contemplating, what's my next thing going to be? And so he has decided what his next thing is going to be. And he's going to run the length of New Zealand. Hmm. Now, at first blush, you think the idea of running the length of New Zealand, well, that's not nearly as ambitious as running the length of Africa, because it's not nearly as far. Mm-hmm. However, this is a trail race. This is a trail run. It's 1,864 miles long, 3,000 kilometers. It's called the Te Araroa Trail. He's going to start in March. It has over 300,000 feet of climbing. So this thing is up and down and up and down and up and down for, and he plans to do it in 10 weeks. So along the way, he's also going to do bungee jumping off the Auckland Harbor Bridge. He's going to canyon swing in Queenstown, and he's going to skydive in Abel Tasman. So this guy's going to have another big adventure. Last time he raised £1 million in his run across Africa. I assume he's raising money this time too for something. I can't imagine being on a trail for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any interest in that.
Yeah, but I still think that Africa had to be harder because it was all uphill.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it was going from south to north.
Yeah.
Right? It's uphill on the map, right?
Yeah, the map looks like it's uphill the whole
way. Is that a dad joke?
I think it was.
My kids would say that.
But anyway, it'll be fun to watch and pay attention to when he gets started in March. So maybe you want to find him on social media and follow him along.
You know, to us, bungee jumping, canyon swinging, and skydiving kind of sounds fun. But in the middle of running 1,864 miles, it can't be fun. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like all you want to do is lay down when you have a free moment.
That could be.
So, yeah, that'd be interesting to follow.
Yeah. Well, have you ever considered donating a body part? Well, Scott Kaufman did, and he wrote a story about it. It's called Go and Give. It's been just over 1 year since my kidney donation. I'm very healthy with an improved diet. I've lost 14 pounds since surgery, and I'm still running. Praise the Lord. My story begins in August 2023, a Sunday church service, worship, a great message, and an announcement that a church member needed a kidney. John had been on dialysis for over 2 years and no match for a kidney had been found. Now, 17 years ago, I had stepped forward to donate a kidney, but I was not a match, and the thought of trying again promptly left my mind. It was only when we were told that any such donor had to have an O-positive blood type that things changed. When you're a lifelong blood donor, you know your blood type. Leviticus 17:11 says, "There is life in the blood." That is when God spoke to me loudly and clearly with one word. God said, "Go." My response to God was also clear. "I can't donate a kidney. I'm training for a marathon." Again, God said, "Go." And like God, my response didn't change. The give and take discussion between God and me went on throughout the service. Thankfully, unlike John the Baptist's father Zechariah, God didn't silence me for 9 months. At some point in the service, a peace came over me. As Paul tells us in Philippians 4:7, I couldn't explain it. After the service, I told John of my intentions to see if I was a match. Over the next 5 months, numerous blood tests, a 24-hour urinalysis test, COVID test, a carotid artery test, a colonoscopy, meetings with a nutritionist, a social worker, and a chaplain from SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital, and a stress test, it was determined that I was a match to the 100th degree and healthy enough to donate my kidney. On January 17, 2024, a successful kidney transplant took place. By the way, the surgery was delayed for 2 hours for a final COVID test. Since the surgery, I've continued to run, entering a few 5K races, and am currently training for a half marathon. The highlight of my post-kidney donation was leading my third Run for God 5K challenge. Our team competed at the Mid-America Transplant 5K, an event to raise awareness for tissue, bone, and organ transplants. I finished second in my age group, but the biggest thrill was seeing the recipient, John, cross the finish line 9 months after receiving his new kidney. My story doesn't end at the finish line of that October 2024 race. I don't know if I should laugh, smile, or marvel at the goodness of God. The fact is, all three responses are just fine. Remember my wrestling with God and how I couldn't donate a kidney and train for a marathon simultaneously? Well, during a training run in October of 2023, a soreness in my hip reared its ugly head. I continued running for another few weeks, making adjustments to my training plan, more cycling, less running. I even considered only running a half marathon instead of a full marathon, but the pain was too much. After diagnosing a torn hip labrum, I reluctantly withdrew from the race. The timing of this is incredibly perfect, orchestrated by a perfect God. Check this out. It was the end of August that I applied to donate my kidney. After 2.5 months of serious training due to my hip, I stopped running. This left me with 2.5 months to rest before major surgery. I'm reminded of what God said to Gideon in Judges 6:14. "Go in the strength you have. I am sending you." God's strength in me prepared me to be mentally and physically able at the age of 60 to donate my kidney. Now my hip still bothers me as I run, but I push through. I believe a reminder of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. A thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness.
Wow. There's a special place for these people. You know, our very own Angie Hawkins.
Yep.
Donated her kidney, and I got to believe that her and Scott have something in common that very few of us can understand. Yeah. And so kudos to Scott and Angie and anybody else out there who's even considered this, because I mean, that's what true sacrifice looks like.
For sure.
Somebody that many times these people don't even know them.
Yeah.
And they're willing to donate like that. So kudos to them.
For sure. Well, this is a great story, too, to illustrate how God orchestrates these things, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this thing started 17 years before this point, mm-hmm. and culminated in a guy getting a transplant. I mean, it's incredible the way God weaves all of these things together over years and years of time. I have a friend of mine, too. Of course, you got Angie. There's another friend of mine who donated his kidney to his mother. And I think about, well, if I'm donating my kidney to my mother, mm-hmm. that's kind of a That's not a hard decision to make. Mm-hmm. But when you're deciding to donate your kidney to a guy at the church,
sure,
that's a whole separate level of commitment to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty impressive. And of course, Scott is no spring chicken. He's 60 years old. I mean,
yeah.
That's, you know, you have to have a little bit of concern there.
Yeah.
But of course, they went through all the testing and found out it was safe and everything. But that's still a heck of a commitment, particularly at that stage of life. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood." He goes on to say, "We know that it's in the shed blood of Jesus that we have eternal life. Here on earth, we can donate our blood to save the lives of others."
You know, when I read this, I had to take a double take because I read, "For the life of a creature is in the blood. We know that it's in the shed blood of Jesus that we have eternal life." And I was like, wait a minute, it says that in Leviticus? But, you know, Dean, every once in a while, there's times when you send me these outlines and I carve out quite a bit of time to sit down and just go through them. And sometimes I don't get all the way through them because I get hung up in a place.
Yeah.
And right here is where I got hung up.
Yeah.
And it was a good hang up. Mm-hmm. You know, sacrifices in the Old Testament, they're kind of hard to read, right? I mean, there's so much blood. You read about these sacrifices, and it's, if you do the math in some of them, it's hundreds and hundreds of cattle and ox and sheep and pigeons. I mean, just all this sacrifice. And you got to think about, where is all that blood going? But spilled blood represents death, right? And spilled blood is a result of sin. In the Bible, and spilled blood is the only way to heaven. So in the Old Testament, that's what was required to atone for sin. But in the New Testament, you can know a guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And pardon this illustration, but I don't know why God laid this on my heart this morning, but he gave me this illustration that happened this past summer. Holly and I went on a vacation with two of our best friends, Dean and Alyssa Stampert. And I will never become a diamond member of Delta Airlines.
Yeah.
I.e. salvation. But I have a personal relationship with Dean Stamper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Dean is one of my best friends, and he's paid the price to become a diamond member of Delta Airlines. He flies all over the world for work. He's gone from his family so much for sometimes weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And so he's paid the price to become a diamond member. So when we're going on vacation and I get to the gate and I tell the attendant, God, that I want to sit in upgraded seats, she will kindly tell me no. I will then respond, but then I've flown Delta Airlines a lot. I really like Delta. Yeah, I've flown some other airlines from time to time, but I really like Delta. And then she responds, our system doesn't show you sitting there.
Mm.
Depart from me. Because our system doesn't know you. But Dean walks up and tells the attendant, God, he's with me. You see, Mitchell and I have a great relationship. We're friends. He trusts me. And therefore, I want him to have what I have, which is his prior sacrifices, being loyal to Delta, will cover the cost of his upgrade, my upgrade.
Mm.
So I want him with me. And just like that, I get to sit in the upgraded seats, heaven, and not in the 43rd row between three screaming kids, which we know what that's compared to.
Yep.
Right? So that day, I had plenty of legroom. I had priority boarding. I had those free complimentary headphones. And I had the upgraded food service. But why? It's because Dean Stamper chose to pay the price of upgrading me with his prior sacrifice. So, in air travel, I can pay to get better seats. I don't always have to have my buddy Dean. But at death's door, you better know a guy.
Yeah.
And his name must be Jesus. So, I don't know why God laid that on my heart. Maybe somebody needed to hear it put in a little bit different context.
Yeah, I like
because
it.
Because if you're like me, I need different context sometimes to understand things. Mm. But if you want to learn how to truly know Jesus Christ so that your boarding pass is stamped heaven when you, because we're all going to die. In the story we just read, it said death is inevitable.
Yeah.
Go to upwardrunning.com/peacewithgod to learn more.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Good stuff. I like that analogy.
So I also try to do that when I go to Hampton Inn. You know, they got the Diamond Member parking.
Yeah.
And Holly says, you can't park here. I'm like, well, I know Dean Stamper. It doesn't work, though. It
doesn't work that way. You know what I've always wondered about donating blood, which he's talking about here, is I've always wondered if there's any training benefit to donating blood. There's obviously no benefit to it immediately because it's a problem for training immediately. Right. But over time, if you give blood, does by regenerating new blood, is that good for your fitness level? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if there's ever been a study done.
And I need to check. I know in years past, I didn't donate blood because I had cancer when I was younger. But I know there's a time period by which you can go back to donating blood. I know there's a period of time after you have cancer that you can't donate blood.
Yeah.
I need to check on what that is.
Yeah.
Because I've never donated blood because I had it so young.
Yeah.
But I need to check on that.
I'll tell my story here in a few minutes. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, I think this just stands on its own. I can't explain it. An amazing peace came over me throughout the 5 months of testing and my injury. Hmm. You know, you've talked about this a lot, this idea of you're going to have one of two things. You're either going to have peace or there's going to be this turmoil inside,
yeah,
one or the other. And that peace is an indication that this direction God wants you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And now he talks about having this peace throughout this process. And here's the thing that I noticed about this that I never really thought about quite this deeply before is that why the world would tell you that you should be nervous in donating a kidney, right? Mm-hmm. But Scott had peace about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it's from God. When it's obvious that you should be in turmoil, but you're not, then you know it's from God.
It's why I say I believe the Holy Spirit lives in your gut as much as anything, because I think if Scott would have passed that day, the world would say, oh, no sweat off your back. But I'm convinced that in Scott's gut, he wouldn't have had that peace. Yeah. I'm convinced the Holy Spirit would have convicted his heart. And so the lack of conviction is always the way you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And very often, it's not what society says. I would say more often, it is not what society says. It's countercultural.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. I mean, you said it, peace or consternation. Which is it?
Yeah.
Peace is always the route to go.
And this is the very definition of the peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Yep. Judges 6:14, go in the strength you have, I am sending you. He says, all too often we sell ourselves short of the ability to help someone, take a risk for God, or even follow his commandments. We feel weak, unprepared, and unworthy. The strength we have, how great or small, is from God. Allow him to send you. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where we just need to be obedient to God. Whatever God tells us we need to do, then we need to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what God will do, God will give you the difference between your strength and completing that task. So if your strength is not enough to complete a task, he's going to give you the difference. He's only going to give you the difference between your best and completing that task. In other words, he's not going to do it for you. You still got to put in your best effort. And then the amount of help God is going to give you is the exact amount mm-hmm. between your best effort and the finish line, whatever that is.
Sure.
And I think that's important because very often I hear people talking like, God is just going to take care of this for me. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
We've all heard that. And a lot of times people don't mean it quite in that context, but we have to be careful because God's not saying he's going to do stuff for us. And he doesn't do stuff for, now he does sometimes if he chooses to, but very often it's, you've got to do your part in order to meet God halfway, sort of.
Yeah, a great illustration you hear is you know, if you're gonna grow corn, yes, God has to provide the rain, God has to provide the right pH of that soil, God has to provide the sun. But guess what you got to do? You have to plant the corn,
mm-hmm.
and we always have to do our part. Because to your point, God isn't just going to hand over stuff. Many times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he does. He's very gracious in that way sometimes. But more times than not, we've got to go plant corn. We've got to. That's why there's so many illustrations about agriculture in the Bible is we do our part, God's going to do his part.
That's right. Question, could you donate a kidney if someone needed it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this would be one of those things where if I was confronted with this idea of giving a kidney, you know me, I've run every day for almost 5,000 days now. It'll be 5,000 days in a couple of months. Sometime mm-hmm. in April, it'll be 5,000 days in a row, except for that one day that I missed. And the idea of saying not only am I giving up, you know, the obvious physical issues and things like that, and obviously my fitness level and all of those things. But I have to give up that as well.
I'm pretty sure you'd figure it out. You'd be up out of that hospital bed somehow the next day, walking up and down the halls.
I can't help setting off
all kind of alarms.
I can't help but think about Westbrook. You know,
because he did it right after surgery, didn't he?
He did. He got up out of the hospital bed in the middle of the night and went outside.
So nobody would see him.
Ran outside, ran around the outside of the hospital building.
They got alarms on those beds now, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, that's that's another layer for me. But I do. I mean, obviously, if it was, let's say, it was my brother. If it's my brother, mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it. You know, for sure. If it's somebody at church, you know that.
Yeah, I think you'd follow that gut though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's in those moments like that where it's complete self-sacrifice. I mean, that's about as self-sacrificing as you can get next to death. And you have peace and you're a follower of Christ. You know what that means.
Yeah.
And you know that it's the right thing and you know you'll be better for it.
Yep.
And so that's where spiritual maturity comes in is, gosh, this is going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah. I know some people are unable to donate blood. If you are able to donate blood and you haven't, why? You'll be a lifesaver. There are also many other ways to give. Go to donatelife.net, please. I don't know if I've ever told my story of why I can't give blood.
I don't think I knew this.
Yeah. I had, when I was working at the place that I worked for 25 years, I used to give blood every time the blood mobile came, I gave blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just actually the reason I started giving blood, I think I wrote a Dean's Thought story about this at one time, was because I didn't like needles and I thought giving blood was a good way to overcome that fear. And so I started giving blood. And so I'd given blood dozens of times. Well, one time they came to, when I was working in Chatsworth, they came and they said, we're going to do blood. Well, I had been a little sick the week before and I had taken some kind of medication for it. But it had been 3 or 4 days since I'd had any symptoms. And, you know, they ask you that question when you give blood. Have you taken any medication or been sick in the last 7 days? Well, you know, it's like, oh, how important is that? I feel fine. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them I'm fine. So they went ahead and took my blood. Well, a week later, I got a letter, a registered letter, saying you have tested positive for hepatitis. And I was
good.
Oh my God. And I'm trying to think, what in the world, where did I come into contact with blood and what's going on? And my mind is like, what in the world? And I'm thinking somebody got hurt at work and I went and tried to help them. And
so explain what hepatitis is. I don't know.
It's a blood disease that you can only get through somebody else's blood.
Contact with other blood. Okay.
Yep. Or body fluid. It may be a body fluid thing, but it's, you know, it's gotta be pretty, it's hard to catch hepatitis. Yeah. So anyway, I'm running through all these things in my head and I'm thinking so I decide, okay, I'm going to book an appointment with my doctor and I go to my doctor to get tested. And I say, I want to make sure you do really good testing. So I spent hundreds of dollars at that time, was a lot of money. And they tested me. Well, it turns out it was a false positive. And it probably had something to do with the fact that I lied on the question, you know, saying I felt okay and I hadn't taken medication when I had.
Yeah.
And so anyway, to shorten the story, I can't give blood because of that. Now, I did go to the bloodmobile one time, though, and say, how can I overcome this? And they said, well, if you can get a letter from your doctor telling us that you tested negative, then you can give blood. And so I guess I would have to bring a copy of that letter every time I gave blood. Mm-hmm. Well, that doctor's office, that doctor had died, first of all. And so I thought, oh, that's okay. I can get it from their office. The doctor's office had burned down. My records were gone. There was no record of these tests. And so now if I want to give blood in the future, I've got to go pay for these tests to have them redone just to prove I don't have hepatitis before I could give blood again. Otherwise, or I have to lie on the thing that when it asks you the question, have you ever had hepatitis?
You know, that sounds like a Dean story.
It does. So anyway, it sounds like I'm making it up. I mean, it just sounds like you're making something, like you're making excuses not to give blood, but I gave blood dozens of times. Anyway, it's a weird story. Last question. What risk is God asking you to take? What is holding you back? Do you have anything like that? You know, I've had in my mind, I think I've told you this before, I've had in my mind this crazy idea of, you know, where I live and where our church is located. Yeah. Our church is located. We actually, there's a lot of Saturdays where our church parking lot is full of cars with bicycle racks on them because people will ride from there, or they'll ride from the parking lot just across the street from our church. And so I've always thought, man, wouldn't it be a great idea to have like a church service where people come, they do a church service, and then they get on their bikes or they get on their running shoes and they go out for a run when they get through. And I thought, it's the perfect location for that. And but I've never done it. But I really, I felt this very strongly years ago, and I don't know. I worked on it a little bit and then forgot about it. And then when he asked this question, I thought about it again. I don't know. I don't know what it would look like. I think that's been the thing, is I don't know what it would look like. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody at our church until about 9 a.m. So if we had like an 8 a.m., you know, if you're an endurance athlete at all, you want to get started early. Mm-hmm. So if we got started at 8 o'clock and had a church service at 8 o'clock, we'd be done before anybody else got to the church. And I don't know.
The Bible and the bikers.
Yeah. I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my stumbling block for the whole thing was that I thought, I don't want to become replacement church. I don't want people to think this is now my church. I want, what I really, really wanted was I envisioned something that where people don't normally really go to church. Maybe a friend invites them over and they come until they get to the point where they want to go to their own church. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that you can do that. So I don't want to pull people away from their churches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But anyway, that's the one thing that I feel like God asked me to look into years ago that I haven't done.
It can be terribly hard to stay on track as a runner or a walker. The world also makes it difficult to stay on track spiritually too. For pennies a day, Upward Running can make both of these journeys more fun and much easier. Join Upward Running today and get access to training plans, videos, and the best group of active Christians you will find anywhere. Go to upwardrunning.com and sign up today. All right, we're back. Have you ever heard of Hyrox?
I haven't, no.
No? It's not CrossFit, but it's
Hyrox.
Yeah. So this is the format. Participants complete a series of 8 1-kilometer runs, each followed by a different functional workout station. The stations include exercises like ski erg, sled push, sled pull, burpee broad jumping, rowing, kettlebells farmer carry, sandbag walking lunge, and wall balls. Those are the challenges. So the sled pull is 50 meters long. The sled push is 50 meters long. The burpee broad jumps, you got to do 80 meters of burpee broad jumps. Rowing.
That's a lot.
Yes. You have to row for 1 kilometer. Carry these, farmers carry, you carry these weights for 200 meters. The sandbag walking lunges, you have to do walking lunges with sandbags for 100 meters. And then the wall ball is where you take these medicine balls and you have to throw them up to like a target, like 100 or 75 times. And it sounds like it's pretty brutal and pretty
non-weighted walking lunge for 100 meters would kill me.
I know. It would me, for sure.
And the second one is the burpees for 80 meters.
Yeah.
That would be, those two would be torture.
Yeah, it would be. This is tough, and it's a 1 kilometer walk in between each, so it's not just a quick sprint to the next thing. It's that's tough. So overall, I guess you're going 8 kilometers, so it's 5 miles of running, and then all this stuff in between. That's pretty tough. And you know, it's a little bit like, you know, CrossFit had those things, you know, where you.
I was going to say, was this birthed out of,
I don't know,
some guys doing CrossFit? And, you know, it's kind of like triathlon, how it was birthed. It was 4 or 5 guys that said, hey, let's see if we can do this.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's how this was birthed.
I bet it was. It was probably some CrossFit folks that were better at the running portion of CrossFit than most other people and thought, hey, let's do something like that, but let's put more running in it. That's what it seems like to me. But this would be, it'd be fun to do. It'd be interesting to see how you could do with these. Some of these, I mean, man. So yeah, some of these would be really hard. I don't know how much the weighted sled is, but it looked like it was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Like it would be really hard to go 50 meters. But interesting thing. So it's called Hyrox. So if you hear of that, Hyrox. Maybe check it out. I don't know if there are any of those going on. I didn't look. I should have looked to see if there are any of those anywhere nearby. Like, you know, you'd
think. I wonder how I got the name Hyrox.
I don't know. But cool.
Now you
know. I remember there was a game that you wonder how many games things like this are invented that never make it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why did triathlon make it? I don't know why it caught on, but it did. We had a game when I was in high school called Towel Ball. And it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And when I describe it to you, you're going to think, this game was ultra competitive and super fun. So before cross country practice or track practice, we would get on the stage at our local high school where we were waiting for practice during that sixth period, we used to call it. And we would wad up a ball of socks into a ball. And we brought our towels with us to practice. We used them to stretch on and stuff like that. You take those towels and you kind of roll them up, mm-hmm, and fold them in half, and you could hit those socks with your towel. And you would be amazed at how hard you can hit it and how much you can direct where you. And so at the stage, there was a doorway on both sides of the stage, and that was the goal, was to hit it through the doorway. And it was pretty fun.
Well, I mean, who would have ever thought that playing human-sized ping pong would become popular? The pickleball is one of the fastest growing sports in America right now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're coming out with upward pickleball.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder how some sports make it and some sports. Because even like basketball was kind of that way when it first started. It was just kind of something strange to everybody.
Yeah.
And now look at it. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All right, it's time for Dean's Thoughts. That's a time when I share something I've written about the intersection between running and faith. There's a guy named Matt Long who wrote a book called The Long Run. This is a little about that, but also, what are the implications coming from Matt's story? This is called Insurance Policy. Matt Long is a former New York City firefighter who was struck by a 20-ton bus on the way to work one day in 2005. He sustained broken bones, a severed femoral artery, and several internal injuries. The doctors estimated his chances of survival at just 1%. But over the ensuing 2 years, after over 40 surgeries and extensive rehabilitation, even having to relearn how to walk, he ran the New York City Marathon in 7 hours and 21 minutes. A year later, he finished an Ironman triathlon in just under 17 hours. It's an incredible story of overcoming the largest of obstacles. But there's more to the story. You see, the doctors and rehab specialists revealed that the single most important issue to his recovery was the fact that he had been in great shape before the accident happened. One of the benefits to having an active lifestyle is often overlooked because we don't like to talk about being the victim of terrible circumstances. Matt's story has played out many times all over the world. It may not be a firefighter who gets hit by a bus, but maybe it's an office worker who fell down the stairs and was severely injured. Or maybe it was a factory worker who was in a terrible car crash on the interstate. No matter the terrible circumstances, the chances of us being able to get back to a normal life or even survive at all can be rooted in our physical fitness prior to the tragic incident. The same thing applies to illness. We know that the studies about COVID showed that obesity was one of the most destructive comorbidities to have if we contracted the virus. We also know that the best way to combat obesity is to work on our physical fitness. Outcomes were better for physically active people. And this extends to just about all illnesses as well. The more physically fit we are, the better our body's systems work. The better our body's systems work, the more efficiently we can fight off viruses and disease. It makes sense, but we don't often think about it until after something consequential happens. There is peace of mind in knowing you're not only healthier as a result of your running and or walking, but that good health is beneficial to us when times get tough. So if you're on the fence about going for a run, maybe thinking about your future would help push you to go do it. If you're not feeling it today and you really don't want to go for that 1 hour walk you had planned, maybe thinking about how important your physical fitness is to your overall and future health will get you to take that first step. Look at it like an insurance policy. You hope you don't need it, but if you do, you'll be glad you did it. 1 Peter 14-17 says, But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as your Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because of you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. We need to be ready if someone challenges us about our faith, but we never know when that will come. That means we need to stay in good spiritual fitness at all times. And this is even more important for those times when we meet non-believers. You could meet someone who needs to hear about Jesus at any time, and you want to be ready for that. Sometimes you only get one shot at sharing Christ with someone. In that case, we want to be the best representative for Christ we can be, so we need to be ready at all times. Insurance is something we all want to have when we need it. Look at your physical fitness as an insurance policy to be ready just in case something bad happens. And being ready for spiritual encounters could have eternal consequences for the people around us. we need to be sure to pay our premiums. We need to be sure to pay our premiums to show that we can use it when we need to.
That's a great story, Dean. You know, we've had, I don't want to overstate this, a couple at least members of Upward Running, Run for God through the years who have messaged us and said, hey, just wanted you to know I had a heart attack or stroke or whatever. And the doctor said, because of my fitness level before that happened, I think one of them even happened in a race.
Wow.
And they attributed their fitness. They were just saying thank you. Not that you or I did anything. They did it.
Right.
We just showed them the path. But yeah, it's a great illustration that we don't often talk about. When we're talking about physical fitness, we really never talk about the preemptive stuff. We talk about the benefits after. But yeah, this is a great story.
Yeah, we've seen it a lot. Of course, the idea of insurance drives me crazy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's
till we use it.
Yeah. But I'm the guy that I turn down any insurance for anything. Unless you have to have it. I mean, there's certain things you do have to have. But
yeah,
I'm the guy that turns down every insurance offer.
Oh, especially at like, do you want an insurance plan for your Tupperware that you're buying Home Depot or whatever?
I figure if you go back over all the years, all that I've turned down, I've way more than paid for brand new whatever it is.
Well,
I don't know how many times I've heard about somebody who was injured or they got sick and the doctor told them they've been, you know, just like you said. And have you ever seen the opposite? You see somebody who's in poor physical health and then something happens and it's something that they should just bounce right back from, but they can't.
Well, to your point, I think we saw it play out vividly during COVID.
We did
see that for, especially in the early days when it was so deadly. You kind of started to see a theme. And we don't like to talk about that. Nobody likes to talk about that, but
it's just one more thing to put on top of the list of the reasons why you want to go out and
let me back up and say, we're not saying that everybody who unfortunately died during COVID was not in shape. That's not what we're saying.
Nope.
But there was a trend there that is really undeniable.
Yeah. Your chances of a better outcome are greater when you're physically fit.
Right.
And that goes for sicknesses, illnesses, it goes for injuries as well.
Yeah.
So many people that have seriously tried. I mean, in this case, Matt Long had an accident that he should have died from. And they gave him 1% chance of surviving. Not only does he survive, but now he's able to do these incredible things. And that's a testament to he was in great shape before the accident happened.
But I think the problem, Dean, is, and I don't know why, and maybe we've always done this as a society, we just see it more now with social media and things, but it's like we hold up the exceptions and say, look, see, this disproves everything. It's kind of like, you know, we hear of those vehicles out there that have been running for 1,000,000 miles and the people never change the oil.
Yeah.
And people hold that up as, look, we don't need to change the oil in our vehicles. When everything is very clear that is the exception, not the rule. The rule is, if you don't change your oil, you're going to have problems out of your vehicle. But we do this with, you know, I look at, people used to talk about George Burns. He's 100 years old and he smoked a pack of cigarettes every day, smoking dust. Nothing to your health.
Yeah.
Baloney.
Yeah.
He was the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We see that a lot, people pointing those out. You know, from a personal standpoint, too, I see my mother. My mother's gone, and I don't think she would have been gone if she would have been physically fitter than she was.
Sure.
And although I encouraged her entire life to be more physically fit, and she worked at it at times, but she just never was very physically fit. And, you know, she had congestive heart failure while staying at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad to watch.
Sure.
And the fact that she's gone, you know, she just, It hurts to know that if she just would have gone out and walked every day, mm-hmm. maybe she'd still be here. Yeah. And I'm kind of convinced that she probably would be.
Sure.
So, yeah, get out there. I mean, that should be enough for us to look at what we do and being physically fit and you want to hang around more. You know, my mother never got to see the great grandchildren mm-hmm. that have come more recently, and that's just sad mm-hmm. that she never got to see these two adopted children who are just doing so great, and three adopted children, and she would love to see them. She would be so excited.
Well, and I think a good exercise, and I've done this with my boys, talking about these types of things that people in life, especially later in life, they look back and they regret. This is one of them. People, yeah. you know, they get older in age and they're out of shape and they think they can't change anything about it. So they regret all the years prior when they let themselves go. A good exercise, I think, to do is get somewhere quiet, get a cup of coffee, go out on your back porch, watch the sunrise, and try to put yourself in the position of the thing you don't want to become. So, you know, I think about things I've done before and I'm like, oh, and I start thinking about all the things I could have done to not be in that position that I'm in. Well, kind of like what we're talking about with this whole story you just read, preemptively think about those things. This is hard to do and nobody likes to do it. Beth Moore, Holly's told me, I never did the study, but Beth Moore talks about, you know, the thing you fear the most, play it out in your mind.
Yeah.
And the fear goes away. Or you'll do something about not being put in that position. But so many times we're looking back thinking, I wish I would have done that, instead of thinking forward to, this is what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
To be in this position and try to get yourself into those feelings of, this is horrible, almost to that stage of regret looking back. But the beauty is you're in the present and you can do something about it now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Keep in mind, the best time to have gotten yourself into physically better shape would have been last year, but the next best time is today.
It's kind of the old tree thing.
Yep.
Best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago.
Yep.
Next best time is right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're out there and you've thought about it, and you just haven't done it.
It's not too late.
It's not too late. That's right.
There is no better way to start the day than in the Word. Our Bible in a Year challenge is a great way to start the day in the Word as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. I also share helpful tips each day along with encouraging quotes. Choose the self-paced challenge so that you can go at your pace. You must be an Upward Running member for access to this exciting challenge. So if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, it is just a click away to get started today.
Every week I share a reason why running and or walking are so awesome, or rucking. Running, walking, rucking are so awesome.
Are we doing this?
We've said.
Are we adding?
You've said this many times, it bears repeating. What other program can you have at a church where you have a 10-year-old boy and a 60-year-old grandmother doing the same thing and both enjoying it? That's it.
It's cool.
Yep. I just started a new 5K challenge class at my church. And two of the people that are there is a mother and a daughter. Hmm. And the daughter came to the mother and said, I want to do this. And she was like, well, I'm not passing this up. I'm going to spend this time with my daughter. So they're getting extra mother-daughter time because of the 5K challenge class.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So you need to start your class. If you've thought about it, haven't done it, it's time to get started.
It's time. The time is now.
That's right. Well, we had our U.S. Indoor Track and Field Championships last weekend. There weren't any real big surprises in there. Although, what I did notice was that there were a bunch of people with last name that started with an H that did really well. or not just, or last name or first name, Hobbs Kessler, Josh Hoey, Nikki Hiltz, Alexis Holmes. I don't know what it was about the H's this year, but it was a big deal. But I wanted to talk about this. You know, indoor track's not nearly as popular as outdoor track is. And then, of course, outdoor track's not as popular as a lot of other sports are. Mm-hmm. Probably part of the reason for indoor track not being real popular is there aren't that many indoor tracks. It's hard to have an indoor track. You got to have a big building, and you have to dedicate it to a track. And that's.
Let me ask this question. Have they ever kicked around the idea of adding indoor track to the Winter Olympics?
I don't think they have.
That would be pretty
cool. I've thought about that before. Yeah. It would increase in popularity, wouldn't you think?
Because then you would, if you're a track athlete, then you've got every 2 years.
Yep.
That would be pretty cool. Of course, I don't know. Answer me this. I'm completely going blank right now. Give me a 5K runner. Galen Rupp.
Yep.
Would the standings look the same indoor versus outdoor?
No, they don't.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because there's a lot of people who don't participate in indoors.
But I mean, but if they did, would the standings look different? Because it's a different atmosphere. It's a different everything. The same distance, but that's about it.
Yeah, they would be similar, but they wouldn't be exactly the same. No, because there are some people who are just better.
Because indoor, you have banking.
Yep. Tighter turns makes a difference. Shorter people tend to do better indoors than mm-hmm. taller people.
Yeah.
So, it's
that would be interesting.
That would be interesting. And I would
But they've never even talked about that you know of.
Not that I know of. Mm. No, but I would love to see it. I don't know what it's going to take to make track and field more. You know, track and field is so popular in the Olympics.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You would think that they've talked about because it's so popular.
Yeah.
I mean, am I going out of limb saying it's the number one sport in the Summer Olympics?
If it's not, it's close. If it's not, it's that or gymnastics.
You would think they would want to replicate that viewership in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why.
Why don't you see if you can get that done, Dean?
All right. I'll do that next week. I'll put that on my to-do list. I think here's what we have to do. Why are the Olympics different? Because track and field's popular during the Olympics, and then we go 3 years of it not being popular, and then it comes back in that fourth year. Why is the Olympics popular with track and field? Here's my thoughts are track and field is exciting. The sport of track and field is exciting. But nobody pays attention to it when it's just a bunch of individuals out there doing something. They pay attention to it when they have a team to root for. Mm-hmm. When we have the USA to root for, we get excited about track and field more than we do when it's just this handful of guys who are going to run 100 meters. So I think they got to figure out a way to have teams with track and field. And I think, you think about it, baseball, football, basketball, all these other sports, you follow a team. Well, there's no team to follow. There's just individuals to follow. And it's.
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, how many people follow a team because of an individual?
Well, it goes both ways.
You know,
it goes both
Chicago
ways.
Bulls. If you followed Chicago Bulls in the 90s, you didn't follow the Chicago Bulls because of Scottie Pippen.
Right.
You followed because of Michael Jordan. So, I don't know. That's an interesting quandary there. I wonder if I would love to see the statistics. Holly and I, because you just can't find anything to watch nowadays on TV that's not just out of the gutter.
Yeah.
We've started watching all the Netflix series, like Full Swing, Full Speed, which is the NASCAR.
Yeah.
There's one on IndyCar. Speed, which is the track and field, Point Break, what is the one for tennis? They're having all these series on sports. I wonder if some of that caught on, because I feel like that sprint series, and they talk about it. Yeah. I know in the Full Swing, one of the guys that they feature in that, his popularity went through the roof.
Yeah.
After that series, even though he's not the number one golfer, he's one of the most popular. I can't remember who it is now, but at the time, he was like one of the most popular golfers because of that series. I wonder if that catches on more and more, if track and field will gain more and more popularity because it's kind of become a mainstream. There's shows about it now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be. That'd be good. Well, our trivia question for this week is this. Very simple question. What is the more popular name of patellofemoral syndrome? What is that known as commonly? If you know the name, or if you know the answer to that, send it to dean@upward.org. And if you're the first member to send in the correct answer, you will win $20 off in the store.
You have to break the word down.
Patellofemoral syndrome. Yeah, you break the word down, it gets a little easier. It gets a lot easier. So check that out and let us know. Our motivational thought of the week comes from George Sheehan, book writer extraordinaire. He said, "It's very hard in the beginning to understand that the whole idea is not to beat the other runners. Eventually, you learn that the competition is against the little voice inside you that wants you to quit."
It's a very good quote.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great thing about running. You can focus on beating other people, but focusing on just being better yourself.
And the cool thing is that applies to almost every area of our life, not just running.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Very good point. That is true. All right. Well, we thank you once again, 259 episodes in, and we're going to keep this thing going for a little while longer. And if you will like and share and, you know, if you'll do all of those things, it will help this podcast get out to more people. And make sure that you get the word out. And until next time, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.